from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Joining us now, a former first-round pick for the New York Jets, the 1984 NFL Man of the Year and a member of the New York Jets Ring of Honor, the great Marty Lyons is with us on The Fan. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure, Danielle. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I wanted to talk about, the new news came through, the 30 for 30 special, fairly new news. I'm excited for you. And I want to know, what was your initial reaction to that announcement that they were going to make this into a special?
Well, I think everybody was excited to tell the story about four guys, ranging from the age of 22 to 25, and we accomplished something together. And there was four different individuals, and we lived different lives. We all didn't socialize during the week, but we knew at one time on a Sunday we had to play together as a unit, and that's what we did. We had a outstanding, backside to that defense. We had outstanding linebackers. We had outstanding, secondary, and the defense coordinator allowed us to do what we did best, and that was try to control the line of scrimmage and get to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. How do you hope the sack exchange, through editing, how do you hope it's portrayed on this show?
Well, I hope it's portrayed that nobody disliked each other. It was just a difference in personality, and we all respected one another. And so many years have gone by, and now it's been like 45 years since the sack exchange existed, and any hard feelings should have been mended by now, and we should look back and be very grateful that we had that opportunity, that we did get recognized as one of the best defensive lines ever to play in the NFL, and we should celebrate that. We shouldn't, live in the past. I always believe your future happiness may very well depend on your ability to leave the past behind. So if anybody had any hard feelings, if anybody got overlooked 45 years ago, like I said in the beginning of my interview, I apologize to everybody. If I hurt your feelings back then, I'm not the same person. But, hopefully everybody feels the same way, Danielle. I don't know. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. And I think that ESPN 3030 guys and their producers, they're going to bring out the best out of the four of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to have a pretty hands-on role in the formation of this, I assume, right? Interviews and all that?
Well, you know what they did? They interviewed each one of us individually for 3 hours, and then they rented out the stock exchange, and they had us all walking in, and we sat down for an interview, and then they show us all walking out. So it was like a meet and greet with former teammates that you haven't really seen a lot of. We don't see a lot of Abdul. He's not doing well. He's out there in Cincinnati. And we see Mark occasionally. And, of course, I'm very good friends with Joe Klecko. So I talk to him at least once a week, every other week. And we try to stay in contact as much as possible.
It's also going to bring a level of documentary to a younger Jet fan. What do they hope they learn about you in particular, the younger
fan?
Well,
I hope they learn that I lined up every week and tried to do the best that I could. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that I won every play. It doesn't mean that I didn't have a bad game. But sometimes when you get knocked down, you have to learn to get up. And sometimes when you don't have the strength to get up with inside yourself, you hope that you surround yourself with strong people that they will be there to help you up. And I think that's a life example, a life lesson for all of us to learn from, not just a football player, but there's so many things that are happening in this world that we need to hear the voice and we need to be there. And a sign of a good leader is an individual that can inspire. But more importantly, a sign of a good leader, in my opinion, is somebody that will listen, somebody that will sit there and not make have an opinion about that individual. They sit there and listen. And I'm also one of those guys that believe that we shouldn't judge people for who they are. You know, we're all going to get judged the day we die. And that's going to be the judgment for all of us. And while we're here, we should respect everybody and try to make life better for everyone that we meet.
The great Marty Lyons joins us on WFAN. Marty, what are you going to miss most? 22 years, you're out of the booth now. What are you going to miss most about being there every day?
Well, you know what? I think I'm going to miss walking around before the game, talking to some of the players. I'm going to miss the guys up in the radio booth. You know, I built a great relationship with Bob Wischusen. I got to see his family grow. I got to see his kids go off to college. But you know what, Daniel? It comes a point in your life where you kind of look back and you go, for 22 years, I only missed four games. And those were four preseason games. And unfortunately, I had a stroke, and that's why I missed those four games. But then you realize, as far as your family is included, how many weddings did you miss? How many of your nephews and nieces and even your own children? How many important events in their lives did you miss? And it came a point that I said, you know what? I might have missed my kids, but you don't want to miss your grandchildren. So you just wake up one morning and you go, hey, you know what? I've had enough. Hmm. And I was very fortunate and blessed that Woody Johnson understood and Jaime understood, the president of the Jets, and they found another role for me so I can stay active with the Jets. And again, I'm very grateful that they have that same type of respect for me as I have for them. I think the part that I'm going to enjoy the most is interacting with the suite owners. Those are the guys that spend their hard-earned money every single game. Yeah. They bring clients in there, and they hope that the Jets are going to win. And I don't think with the past 10 years, if you look at it, the Jets have gone 55 and 108. That's not good. And I think that the two words of thank you they haven't been said strong enough or often enough to these people. But I want to let them know that the organization really does, they really do appreciate them, and more so the fans. Thank the fans too for everything and all their support for the players. All the players down there on the field, I can remember running out of the tunnel and the fans are up on their feet. You recognize the fans. And then when they chant your J-E-T-S, that, or they yell out your name, that's excitement. That's being accepted by your fans. And I think the more the Jets win, the more you're going to see that. But again, in the last couple of years, the last 10 years, they haven't held up their end of the bargain.
Well, they changed their uniforms to be like your look, to model after your years. What do you think of them? How do they look?
Well, you know what, Danielle? It's funny. When I go out there, you know, you see number 15, and that was, I think, Martinez during the preseason. But it's the same uniform our punter, you know, Chuck Ramsey wore. And then you see number 99 being worn. And, of course, that's Will McDonald. But that was Mark Gastineau. So all of a sudden, you're seeing the numbers – and the names have changed, but you always have that flashback to who wore number 65? Well, that was Joe Field. And who wore number 14? Oh, that was Richard Todd. So I'm loving it. I think it's a great way to bring back the memories of the past. But again, this unit this year, they've got it on paper. They can beat anybody. I think that there's a beautiful blend of veteran players with the young talent that they have. And the one thing different than when I came in 1979 is now those young guys have a voice. When I came in, I used to sit there and listen to all the veterans, and you're saying, well, I got to get up and say something, but I can't do it now because I'm only a rookie.
Yeah,
that has really changed. And I think that empowers the locker room with the mixture of the veteran players. Of course, it starts with Aaron, Aaron, you know, as a leader, he inspires. And then you got Garrett Wilson, that now he's become a leader. And, of course, you got Quinnen Williams, Quincy Williams, C.J. Mosley. All those guys have stepped up and said, hey, you know what? It's my team. I want to be the leader.
Mm-hmm. Marty Lyons joins us on The Fan. Thinking of this current roster, who you know very well, which player do you think embodies you the most?
That I admire the most?
No, which player embodies you the most? Like you look at this guy and you're like, he reminds me of me.
Well, you know what? I would have to say Quinnen Williams, you know, as a defensive lineman coming out of Alabama. I remember the first day I met him. He came in, he was wearing number 92 in college. And at the time that he was the number one pick, we already had a guy here with the Jets, Leonard Williams. He was wearing number 92. And, of course, he was a first-round pick years before that out of USC.
Right.
So the first time I met Quinnen, I said, hey, you know what, Quinnen, introduced myself to him, University of Alabama. He knew who I was. I said, you know what, I would be honored if you wore my number. And he said, I can't. I said, well, why not? He says, because you're the GOAT. And I go, I'm the what? And he goes, you're the GOAT. He goes, I'm going to wear my own number so I can establish myself. And, of course, he picked number 95 and, you know what? He's backed up his words.
You know, that's interesting because a lot of people talk about the number being a player's identity. It's interesting that you would be willing to give the number to him. I don't know. It's just a lot of players equate number with identity and they're all up in arms, especially with this Malik Nabers thing with the Giants. Number one was retired. They unretired it. I don't think it's a big deal. The family granted permission. I personally don't think it's a big deal.
No, I would have been honored if he had said, hey, you know what? I want to wear your number. Because number one, we're both tied into the University of Alabama.
Yeah.
Number two, I like his style of play.
Yeah.
And number three, you know what? The name and the number can always be replaced, but it's the individual that represents that. And I think Quinnen Williams is just a class act, along with Garrett Wilson. I got to give Garrett a lot of credit. I got to be friends with him. And I said, the only problem with Garrett Wilson is he went to Ohio State. And I said, you know what? You're everything that this league needs. A quality player, you get it. You take time to recognize the fans, time to interact with the fans. You do it. You do it right. And then last year, the Jets were playing Buffalo, and I got to meet his father. And I spent some time with his father. And at the end of it, you realize, this is why Garrett is who he is, because his father is the same way.
Mm.
And his father built that foundation for him.
Right.
And he went to Ohio State, was very successful. And now he's going to have a great career here in the NFL. And hopefully he spends his whole career with the Jets.
The strength of this Jets team, I know you know the roster well. What is the strength when you look at this Jets team and say, this makes them like have it? They've got it because of this.
The defense. You win championships because you have a great defense.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Danielle, you look at their record last year, they were 7-10, right? But if you had Aaron Rodgers in there and you just got to 17 points,
yep.
That's it. You just needed 17 points. Your record would have flipped from 7-10 to 10-7. And no telling what would have happened in those other seven games.
Right.
But in the three games, the New England game, the Raiders game, and the Falcons game,
yes,
all you had to do was get to 17 because your defense held the opponents to 16 or under.
Yeah.
That's why I say, you know what? The defense, they were ranked third in the NFL last year. If they can keep that up and Aaron can stay healthy and Aaron can get all the weapons from Garrett Wilson to Mike Williams and also – a very underrated player is their tight end, Tyler Coughlin. You get those guys involved with Breece Hall running the ball downhill. No telling how many games this team can win.
Now, conversely, you look at the team, and I agree they're a very strong team on paper. What do you think would be the weakness that other teams will try to expose on the Jets this year?
I think the weakness is knowing how to win. You know, it's not one single player. This team has got to understand. And the first time that I met Aaron Rodgers when he came in, I talked to him. I said, boy, you talk a lot of smack out there on the field. And he said, I came here to win. And these players have got to understand, if you want to win on Sunday, you got to win Monday through Friday at practice.
Right.
You got to get used to winning. You got to expect to win. You got to go into games with the mindset of we are going to win. Not whether we're going to win, how are we going to win? No, we are going to win the game. So I think the mental part of it, Daniel, they've got to get over that hump. And the only way to get over the hump is you go out there and you beat the 49ers. You come back, practice, you go out, you beat Tennessee on the road. And then think about what MetLife would be at 2-0 getting ready to play New England on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
If you thought 9/11 was exciting last year, it'll be no comparison.
How much of that winning mentality comes down from the coach? I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of Robert Saleh, but from a guy who – I never played football. From a guy who played –
But you're a heck of a softball player, I tell you that much. You got my vote for MVP at Don LaGreca's camp or game.
Well, thanks. Yeah. But from a guy who played NFL football, what makes Robert Saleh – convince me otherwise, because I am not a fan of him. I think he has get-in-the-way potential for this team.
No, I think Rob Saleh is a good guy. I think he's an excellent coach. I think having the right talent would make Rob Saleh really pop as a good coach. And look at his quarterback. Just take the quarterback that they have had in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. I know his record is 18-33, but you can go back to Zach Wilson, Trevor Siemian. The names go on and on and on. He never really had a player in the most important position
right.
The team would need. And that's not a reflection on how he coaches. I think he coaches, he's a player's coach. You know, he interacts with the players. I think he's getting more involved on the offensive side of the ball. His defense is playing outstanding. And I think when you look at the special teams, they probably have the best punter in the league in Morstead, and they probably have the best kicker in Greg Zuerlein. Mm-hmm. So that's an added bonus for this team. Right. You're not looking for a punter. You're not looking for a place kicker.
Mm-hmm.
So they have all the pieces. And like I said, on paper, they can beat anybody. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen anybody win a game on paper. You got to go out there and perform.
Marty Lyons joins us on The Fan. Marty, would you have liked to play for Coach Saleh?
I think I would have, because he's a defensive-minded coach, and he's one of those coaches that, hey, every single down, he wants to turn you loose. And, you know, when you have a defensive coach like that, you want to stay in the game. The only thing that would be hard for me is if you turn the clock back 40 years, if you were good enough to play on first down, you played first, second, and third, and you kept going and going and going. The only time you came out of the game is if you got nicked up. With the philosophy that the Jets have and a lot of teams have now in the NFL, is they rotate that defensive line in like every other series or every two series or a certain number of plays. Mm-hmm. So in their mind, they believe a fresh body can wear down an offensive lineman, which has some merit to it, has some truth to it. But I think if you talk to any of the players that played in the 70s and the early 80s, they would tell you, I don't want to come out of the game. I want to be in there every single play.
Right.
And that's one thing that we would have to get used to.
This Hassan Reddick thing. I mean, again, help me understand from a player who's played the game perspective, especially at that position. What is the benefit from a player standpoint of sitting out as long as he has, other than the $5 million he's already lost in money, in dollars?
Right. Well, you know what? First of all, you're 29 years old. Now you're in a position where you can get maybe one last contract, right? Mm-hmm. So he's staying out. He's staying out for financial need or financial stability for him and his family. And as a former athlete, I mean, I support that. If that's what you want to do, then do it. And that's what he has done. When he does come to the Jets, he's going to be that missing piece. He's going to be that edge rusher that can get around that tackle to put the pressure on the quarterback, On the other side, you got a true compliment in Jermaine Johnson, a guy that came in last year, changed his number, and said, I wanted to change my number to my college number so that I could play like I did in college. And you got to remember, Jermaine Johnson thought he should have been a number one, you know, a first round pick. He wasn't. So he played with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. Yeah. And I had many conversations with Jermaine. He's just a top class individual. And another guy that I really like on that defensive line is Michael Clemens. Michael Clemens out of Texas A&M. His motor doesn't stop. The only thing that he has to do, Daniel, he has to control his temper. You know what? You don't want to get known as one of those guys that always wants to fight, always wants to talk. Just line up and play the game.
Right.
Play the game. It's the way it's supposed to be played. Every single play, you go until the whistle blows. And that's what Michael Clemens is good at. And he's got the speed and he's got the strength to do it.
Now, this Jets unit, I mean, first of all, will Hassan Reddick report? When will he report? And how good are they even without him? I think they're fine enough without him.
Well, I think once you lose a piece to the puzzle, you always try to take another piece and put it in. It will fit, but will it fit nicely? And I think that's what Reddick does to this puzzle. He would come in here, and you don't have to turn the puzzle too far before he just fits right in. But you're exactly right. The show's got to go on. It's not going to stop for one player not being here. You can't cancel the game against the 49ers by going, hey, wait a minute, Reddick is still holding out. We're not ready. No, nobody cares about that. Nobody cares about if you lose a player due to injury like the Jets did last year. Four plays into the season, Aaron goes down, torn Achilles. You know what? You had 31 other teams that were probably going, all right, But yeah. That's just part of the game. It's a long season. You got to start fast, and you have an opportunity. And I believe, Danielle, that it's to the Jets' advantage, really, to play on the road the very first game. Get that first game underneath your belt. Win or lose. Go out there and perform to the best of your ability. Hopefully you come back with a win. Go down to Tennessee. Do the same thing. Then you come at home and you play on Thursday night. Again, you're in the spotlight, a national game. If you had played at home to open up, there's just that added pressure. You got the pressure of your family. Hey, how many tickets can we get? This, that. You're getting pulled in all these different directions. Now you're out there in San Francisco. You're in a hotel with your teammates. Everybody's together, and everybody realizes we're out here for one reason. We're out here to play a football game. Mm.
Marty Lyons joins us on The Fan. And Marty, I put my annual donation in for the Jets to win the Super Bowl, but I have a good feeling this season. Am I going to be able to cash out my ticket this year? Is the Super Bowl a realistic expectation for the Jets?
You know what, Daniel? You and I both. I think everybody's pushing. It's like Texas Hold'em. We got all the players we want. Yeah. All in.
Yeah.
And we won't know till week 18 and the playoffs. First thing they got to do is they got to beat San Francisco. And then I would say the second thing you got to do, got to win your division. You got to win the AFC East. Then you go, hopefully you have one of the better records and you get a bye week and you get to sit and watch. Then you only have to play two games to get to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And no matter what happens tonight with Baltimore and Kansas City, that Kansas City is going to be in it at the end because they have a great quarterback in Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
And now there's other teams in the AFC that has great quarterbacks. You got Tua down there in Miami, you got Joe Burrow out there in Cincinnati.
Yep.
And you got Josh Allen right here with the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
So don't take for granted that, hey, we can line up and we can beat anybody. No, it doesn't work that way in the NFL. You got to go out there and earn it. Key is don't make a lot of mistakes. Don't have a lot of turnovers. And play Jet football. Play like you've practiced and go out there with the attitude of, we're going to win. It's show me time. Right. And that's what all the players want to hear.
Marty Lyons with us on The Fan. Marty, I know you got two events coming up. The first on Long Island, I'm Jersey, so the first is hard for me to get to, but it's a golf outing on Long Island, right? If people are listening right now, how can they become part of it?
Can they be part of the game, or how can they be part of their golf tournament?
The golf tournament, the Marty Lyons Foundation golf tournament.
Oh, well, you know, just go to the MartyLyonsFoundation.org. And we're always looking for people. We look for three types of people, Daniel. Number one, we need financial support. The more money we raise, the more kids we can help. Number two, we look for people that can donate their time. That's the one thing we all can't make more of. We can make more money, but we can't make more time. I need people that will volunteer their time. And then I always say, if you don't have money and you don't have time, you know, donate your thoughts and prayers. All we need is one prayer to be answered, and maybe we save the life of a child. Maybe God gives us one back and says, hey, you know what? The work you're doing has meaning. And, you know, for 42 years, we've grown from six people sitting around the table to now we operate in 14 states, and we're proud to say we've raised over $43 million and we've helped over 8,500 families. And it's people like yourself and everybody just saying, hey, you know what? I'll give what I can. And we just keep dollar on top of dollar on top of dollar. And the problem is there's just so many kids out there that are getting cheated out of life. And once they do pass away, their families, they search for answers. Yeah. And anytime you lose a child, you sit there and you question yourself, why me? And you're never going to find an answer. And we try to help them through that. We say, I always tell the parents that I know it's a difficult time, but you have to move on. And it doesn't mean you're forgetting the loss of your child. It means that you're going to find a vehicle to keep your child alive in your heart and in everything you do. I went through it in 1982 when I was still playing with the Jets, and my oldest son, Rocky, was born on March 4th. My dad suddenly died of a heart attack on March 8th, and a little boy I was a big brother to died at the age of 5 and a half of leukemia on March 10th. Mm-hmm. So in a matter of 6 days, I went from the ultimate high to the ultimate low. Mm-hmm. And Danielle, I blamed myself. I said, what am I doing wrong in life that God would punish me like this? And time went on and on and on. And finally, I looked myself in the mirror and I realized, wow, man, I don't like the image that I see, because I was now allowing death to define who I was. And I said, you know what? Let me use the position that I'm in, being here in New York, being an athlete, the New York media. Let me start a foundation for terminally ill children. And did I ever think that we would go 42 years and continue to grow? That was my wish.
Yeah.
Never knew that I would get here. And it seems like a long time. But when you work it every day, it's not work. You realize how long it's been when you look at our first recipient. He would have been 59. He would have been older than you and just a little bit younger than myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all these kids, they leave something with you.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to see you on November 30th at MetLife Stadium. I heard you're going to be donning some black and white stripes, refereeing a flag football game. And I hope people that are listening can get involved in that as well.
No, Danielle, anything that you can do to promote the Lions Bowl, sure. That's done by the young professionals. I realized a few years ago that there would come a time in life that you would have to pass the torch.
Yeah.
And the only way to pass the torch is to take these young professionals that they're early in their career, they're starting a family, they're getting married, and the art of giving back. And we started a group, I think the first time that we had an open seminar per se, we had 52 young professionals come there, 26 have stayed with us, and we have moved some of the young professionals up to the national board just because of their commitment, their energy, and the way that they do things. Technology now. You know, for me to, you know, I'm still old fashioned. I have to write checks every single month pay every single bill. And my kids keep saying, Dad, you know what? They could take it directly out of your checking account. I go, but you don't understand. I need to know. And they go, Dad, you don't understand. You got to work easier, not, you know, harder. And so it's back and forth. So, Daniel, I wrapped up a bunch of them and I brought them to the board. And I said, you know what? They deserve to be on the board. They showed me how to say, push this button and send out your message to hundreds of people.
Yeah.
And save the postage.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you on the 30th, Marty. Thanks so much for taking some time. I really appreciate it.
All right, Daniel. Anytime. I enjoy it. And I did vote for you for MVP.
Ah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll see you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.